All right. Grab your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 11. Chapter 11. It's already been read once so powerfully today by Reverend Pearson. But I want to read it again. Beginning at verse number 1. Say amen when you get there. Joshua chapter 11. And it came to pass, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard these things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, to the king of Shimron, to the king of Akseph, and to the kings who were from the north, in the mountains, in the plain, south of Chinnereth, in the lowland, and in the heights of Dor on the west, to the Canaanites in the east and in the west, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, in the mountains, and the Hivites. Lord, please help me resist the temptation. Below Hermon in the land of Mizpah. So they went out, they and all their armies with them, as many people as the sand that is on the seashores, in multitude, with very many horses and chariots. And when all these kings had met together, they came and camped together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. Look at your neighbor, say, this means war. Look on the other side, say, this means war, part 3. All right, you can be seated. For the past several weeks, we have been teaching from this theme, this series, This Means War. We've been learning and engaged in an understanding about the battle that we are engaged in, that we are faced with. It's a war. And what we tried to do is make it plain and clear about the essence of the battles that we have in our life. We talked in part 1 about the fact that Ephesians 6 tells us that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. That's a real important lesson for everybody to learn, that your battles is not with your husband, your wife, your boss, your kids, your co-workers, your neighbors, your fellow church members. The war is against a spirit that's behind the people. The reality is, the spirit influences those people, but it's not the people that you're fighting against, but the spirit behind the person. My wife and I was having some intense fellowship one day this week. And we both knew that one of us was under the influence of demonic spirits. She suggested that I was the one who was being influenced by the enemy. But of course, since I'm the pastor, I know that she's the one that's being influenced. It's not a battle against flesh and blood. The sooner you learn that and know that, that this is a spiritual warfare, the sooner you can learn how to engage in battle. We also looked at the fact that 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us that the weapons that God give us, we don't fight with carnal weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly weapons. We don't fight our battles by taking people to court, cussing them out, giving them a piece of our mind, scratching up their cars, lying on them. That's not how Christians... Oh, I must have hit something right there. Somebody said something. That's not how we do battle. We don't try to hurt people back. I think I said a couple weeks ago, when you try to take carnal weapons up and try to do the battle, God steps back and says, oh, I see you got this. But when you fight it God's way and he sees you doing it his way, he will step in and fight the battle for you. We talked last week about the fact that God gives us instructions about battling, and it begins with your thought life. It's your stinking thinking that gets you in trouble. Somebody on your row got some stinking thinking. Look up and down and see if you can tell who it is. Don't point to them. Just say, okay, I see who it is. Yeah. So He tells us to control our thought life, but he also tells us that we battle by seeking after God. In other words, pursuing him. Somebody say pursuing him. You see, your problem is you keep chasing after the person that you're battling with. And the scripture teaches us that we win by pursuing God, and not only pursuing God, we got to get positioned to seek God, but we also win by being positioned to worship God. Yeah, you got to learn how to give God the praise. Matter of fact, the reality of the fact is we learned that you don't have to wait. Don't wait till the battle is over. Go ahead and begin to praise God even before you see the answer resolved. So today we continue on with this series of war. This means war, by taking a look at a gentleman named Joshua. Joshua. And I want you to allow me just a few moments at the 12 o'clock. Take your time. Preach as long as you want to. Service. We want the full message. Don't cut it up. Don't chop it down. Don't leave anything out. Service. I just want to make sure I'm in the right place and I got the right crowd. This is not the crowd that's trying to hurry up and get to see the game. Right. I love y'all. Even though I know as soon as I say amen, y'all gonna be rushing up out of here. Allow me to lay the background for the 11th chapter of Joshua. It becomes important for you to understand the background so you can understand the full context of the situation. The children of Israel had been following Moses on their way to the promised land. The promised land. They had a land that they weren't sure where it was. That they just knew there was a place that God was taking them to. And they had been following Moses for 40 years and never got there. 40 years. That's a long time. It's a generation. 40 years. And they never made it to the promised land. 40 years. That's a long time. And eventually Moses dies. Joshua takes the lead. And the reality is Joshua leads them into the promised land. Now the question is always asked, how come God didn't let Moses lead the children of Israel into the promised land? Why were they wandering around in the wilderness, going around in circles over and over and over and over again for 40 years? And there's a reason for that. Let me tell you why. Because just like the children of Israel had a promised land, you have a promised land. Everybody in here has a destiny. There has something that God has assigned to your life for you to achieve, for you to do, some place for you to go, some ministry, some business, some call, some assignment for your life. And it is such an anointed thing that when you do it, when you get to it, when you achieve it, when you reach your promised land, you will do something that can't nobody do that something like you do it when you get to do it. And that's the truth. That's an assignment. Everybody has a promised land. The children of Israel had a promised land, but a whole generation didn't get there. And the question is why? I'm going somewhere. Hang with me. I'm going to take my time. They did not get there because God did not want to allow that generation to go into the promised land with the mentality that they had. So he had to wait for that generation to die. And it is their children and their grandchildren that will march into their promised land because they have a different mindset. Let me just find out where the young people are, because I'm proud of the young adults and the young people at the First Baptist Church of Glen Arden who are approaching church with a different mindset. You see, there's an old generation that has a mindset to say, you don't sit in this seat, you don't wear these clothes, you don't do this, you don't go there. But there's a new generation that says, I don't care where I'm sitting, I'm just glad to be in the house. Where are my young people at? Where are the young adults at? Stand up. I'm looking for the young people who are on fire. I'm looking for the young adults who said, we ain't gonna let what people say stop us. You can talk about us. You can kick us to the curb. You may not respect us. You may not like us. But we are still going to live for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're going to be committed to him. You can't stop us. Give it up for these young adults. That's who I'm proud about. There's a generation that when somebody says something bad about them, they quit church. But not this generation. They're sold out and committed. So God says, I'm not going to let that generation cross over into the promised land because they got a mentality that I do not want to carry into the promised land. Here's what I need every person to understand, and especially your young adults. I need you to understand this, that God will not allow you to reach your ultimate destiny and assignment where he's destined for you to go unless you change your thinking. Let me thank all 17 of y'all because I know y'all don't know what that means. In other words, God is not going to let you reach your promised land, your destiny, carrying the baggage of the way you used to be into the promised land. And that's why he didn't let Moses carry those children of Israel into the promised land, because they had stinking thinking. But once that generation died off, now he raises up a new generation. And now in the book of Joshua, we see them taking territory. We see them moving in and capturing land. We see them possessing the promised land. They're getting to the place that God wants them to go. And as they're walking in and as they're doing what God called them to do, they're taking territory, they're defeating armies, and here's what happens, here's what goes on. They are taking territory, and by the time we get to chapter 11, matter of fact, in all of the previous chapters, you can go on from chapter 5, 6, 7, going up, you see them taking territory and taking land and defeating armies and taking territory. By the time we get to chapter 11, verse 1, it says, and it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazar, heard these things. Now that's an important verse right there. He it says that he heard about the children of Israel. Now why is that important? That's important because what you have failed to understand, people, is that the devil has seen where you're going and he has seen what you're doing, and the word has spread and people have heard about you. Don't you know there's some people that you never met that don't like you because they heard about you. They heard about your gift. They heard about your anointing. They heard about your light. They heard about how you do business. They heard that you ain't playing. They heard that you the real deal. They heard that you're good at what you do. They heard about you. Some of you will never get any place in your life if you keep getting pushed back and discouraged because of what people said about you. You gotta have a mentality to say, you might have heard about me, but you can't stop me. You can't hinder me. You can't discourage me. You might have heard about me, but you have not seen the last. I have not yet begun to fight. Lean over to your neighbor and say, he preaching better than you are saying amen. Now here's the deal. There, you have an anointing on your life. You have an assignment. You have a call. You have a mission in life. You have something that God has anointed uniquely for you to do. The problem is you got to understand you got to be you. You can't be nobody else. A lot of problem is y'all trying to be like somebody else. You're trying to dress like Beyonce, do your hair like Beyonce. You're trying to walk like Beyonce. You can't be Beyonce. I can't be T.D. Jakes. I can't be Fred Price. I can't be Creflo Dollar. I can't be Rob Parson. But I can sure be the best John Jenkins that anybody's ever found in this world. I'm going to be me. You ain't got to like me. You ain't got to approve of me. You don't have to receive from me. But I'm going to be me. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, I got to be me. Ooh, I feel an anointing to preach up in here today. They heard. He heard. And so he gathers all these people together, all these armies, all these nations, and they come up with a scheme and a plan to come against Israel. Matter of fact, that's what the text says. It says right here that he sent word and letter to Jobab, king of Madon, that's verse 1, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Aksaph, and to the kings who were from the north, and in the mountains, and in the plains of the south, and in the lowland, and in the heights, and to the west, and to the Canaanites in the east, and the west, to the Amorites, the Hittites, all of those heights. And in verse 5 it says, and when all these kings had met together, they came and camped together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. They all came to do battle against Israel. Here's the deal. You and I need to understand this thing that in order for Israel to get to where God wants them to go, they are going to have to keep fighting. The problem with the generation today is that you want the promised land, but you don't want to fight. I come to bind that spirit right now in Jesus' name. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to do battle. You're going to have to engage in war. You can't get it without a battle. And you can't get it without fighting. You got to fight. You got to engage in war. And why is the devil coming against you? Why is there such a battle against you? Whew, man, have mercy. Whew. Now look at this. Let me say this. Let me back up. This is the 12 o'clock service. I'm trying to rush. I can take my time. All of these enemies, matter of fact, verse 4, look at verse 4. It says they went out, they and all their armies with them, verse 4. Look at this. As many people as the sand that is on the seashore in multitude. That was a whole bunch of people. With very many horses. It doesn't say many horses. It says very many horses. And chariots. It's a whole slew, a whole bunch of nations and armies that have come against Israel. Now, why am I talking about this? Ooh, Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost, to say this the way this needs to be said. Because the reality is, some of you today are facing a ton of issues in life. You got challenges on every side. You got issues on every side. Every place you look, there's a fight. Every time you turn around, there's a fight. Every time you wake up, there's a fight. Every place, every job you take, every conversation you have, it's a battle. You got a ton of people coming against you. A ton of issues, a ton of problems. You got financial problems, sick health problems, marriage problems, children problems, job problems, neighborhood problems, church problems. You got problems all around. Now here's the deal. Woo. Ushers guard the door. Somebody gonna shout on this point right here. Make sure you're on the organ, Daniel, so somebody gonna shout on this. So get ready to give a little shout music on this right here. Because somebody gonna shout. Because here's the deal. Here's what you gotta understand. You see, because they bring so much against you, you must be a bad choker for them to have to bring all that against you. Somebody say, I must be a bad choker. I must be a mean somebody. I must have some kind of anointing on me that all this stuff coming against me. Somebody high-five your neighbor and say, I must be a bad dude. For the devil to bring all this against me, I must be a bad dude. For all this fight, all this stuff, all this hell, all these criticism, all this gossip, all these lies, all this stuff I'm coming against, I must be a bad dude. Y'all gotta get that. Get that in your spirit. Get it in your heart. All these things the devil's bringing against you. You know why he's coming to get you so hard? I said, do you know why he's coming to get you so hard? Cause he knows. The devil knows what you don't know. He knows if you ever get to your promised land, you will reap some hell against his kingdom. If you ever get there, you're gonna whip up on that devil's head. People gonna get saved. Lives gonna be turned around. People gonna get delivered. Jesus is gonna get glorified. If you ever get to where God's taking you. And I want somebody to have a mindset. I want to tell somebody to give God a shout and say, I will not let the devil stop me from getting to the place that God has for me. I want you to
look at somebody eyeball to eyeball, grab their hand and say, you a bad dude, you can't stop now. Look at them right in their face, look right in their eye and say, you can't stop now. You can't quit now. You can't walk away now. You can't file divorce now. You can't quit the job now. You can't quit the church now. You can't stop pursuing your ministry now. You a bad dude. You done come through too much. You have been too far. You have overseen and overcome too many things to stop now. Hey. Tell them your marriage is worth to fight. Your children are worth to fight. Your ministry is worth to fight. Your call and your anointing is worth to fight. Tell them it's worth it. My grandkids are worth to fight. I'm worth fighting for my own self. I'm worth to fight. Somebody tell your neighbor, I'm not going down without a fight. This means war. I ain't quitting now. I ain't gonna stop now. Who am I preaching to today? So I refuse to quit. I refuse to stop. We gonna battle. We gonna fight. Hallelujah. When you get done, when this is over, devil, you will know that you've been in an all-out knockdown fight. I might be bloody. My teeth might be knocked out. I might be bleeding all over. But you will know you have been in a fight. Somebody say, I'm ready to battle. I'm ready to war. I'm ready to engage. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I got a destiny in front of me. I have a call in front of me. I have a charge to keep and a God to glorify. And that little bit of stuff you put in my way, that's not gonna stop me. It's gonna take a whole lot more than this to make me quit. Now check this out, because I know that some of y'all ain't said amen, you ain't waved your hands, you ain't stood, you ain't said nothing. And I sense the reason is because when you look at what's coming against you, you have concluded that it's too much. And when you look at the children of Israel, they got all these nations, all of these surrounding nations from the north, south, east, west, all these kings coming against them. The reality is that they are overwhelmed. And statistically, they don't have a chance. The odds are against them. And I feel some of y'all saying, well, the odds are against you. Yeah, it's against, the odds are against you winning, the odds are against you getting a promotion, the odds are against you by this age of your life getting married, the odds are against your marriage working, the odds are against your children succeeding, the odds are against your ministry being able to do something or your business being started. But here's the thing I need you to know. Get ready, somebody gonna shout on this point too. Ushers, guard the door. Somebody gonna get so excited they're gonna run out of here. If God be for you, somebody say, if God be for you, if God is on your side, if God has chosen you and anointed you and destined you, if God be for you, who can be against you? Tell your neighbor, who can be against you? Who can stop you? Who can hinder you? If God is for you. Oh.
Somebody help me give Jesus a shout of praise today. Somebody say, the odds might be against me, but God is for me. The statistics might say I might lose, but God said I'm going to win. The numbers might say I don't have a chance, but when God has spoken a word, I don't know who I'm preaching to. Somebody here, it might just be one person, but you made the other 3,500 people in here have to sit through this sermon. I hope you get it, whoever you is. I want you to get it. I want you to get this in your heart, get it in your mind. Now, here's the problem. God has told you to do something. He's called you. There's something pulling you. There's an assignment. There's a destiny for you. There's a purpose for your life. There's someplace God's trying to deliver you to. And the question is, when the odds are against me, when everybody look at the odds and say, I don't have a chance, it's not likely to happen, what do you do? When you got trouble on every side, when everything is all around you points to defeat, what do you do? I'm glad you asked the question. Because you do what Joshua did. It's in verse 6. Don't sit down. Just pick up your Bible. You make me feel like I'm preaching when you're standing. I am preaching. Am I preaching? Verse 6, but, stop right there. Somebody tell your neighbor, God got a big old butt. Somebody say, I like big butts. And anytime God put his butt in a situation, that's a big butt. Stay holy now, stay with me right here, stay holy. When God, listen, when God puts a butt in it, that means he's about to shift the situation. Oh, y'all, excuse me. He is surrounded by enemies on every side. But verse 6 says, but. Y'all not getting it. Y'all not getting it. When the butt comes in, God is about to shift. Some of y'all don't know that God is bringing a butt into your situation. Somebody tell your neighbor, I'm about to get a butt in my situation. I'm about to get the shift. Something is about to change. Something is about to be different. I see what's around me. I see the challenges all around me. But what is bigger than my circumstance is God's butt in my situation. But the Lord said to Joshua, y'all see this right here, verse 6. What did the Lord say? Here's what he said. Do not be afraid because of them. And y'all hear me talk about this all the time, but I felt compelled of God to drive out a spirit of fear. Some of you are afraid to move forward with the call of God on your life because you're scared. You're afraid. And we got to bind that spirit of fear. Fear does not come from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Anytime fear is in the picture, you can know that's the devil. Because God does not operate in the realm of fear. Can I get an amen right there from anybody? He said, do not be afraid. Matter of fact, I've been trying to tell you all for decades, run in the direction of your fears. Some of you got job opportunities, but you're afraid to apply for the job because you're scared. Go for the jobs. There's businesses inside of you, but some of you are afraid of trying to start the business. My job is to tell you, don't be afraid. Run in the directions of your fears. Some of you, God has a call on your life, but you're afraid. You got books to write, music to write, businesses to start, careers, things that God wants you to do, but you're scared. And God told me to tell you, stop being afraid. Matter of fact, here's how you tell the difference. There's many ways to tell the difference between God's voice and Satan's voice. But one of the ways you tell the difference between God's voice and Satan's voice is that the devil speaks through fear. God speaks out of faith. When God talks to you, he always gives you the opportunity. He always speaks to you to lift up your faith and believe him to do the impossible. That's God's talking. The devil tells you, don't do it. Don't be afraid. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to make a fool out of yourself. That's the devil. But God says, go ahead. I'm going to be with you. I'll fight the battle. I'll help you out. I'm calling you to that. God says, don't be afraid. Look at somebody, high five somebody and say, do not be afraid. Oh, I wish y'all could get that. I wish y'all could get it in your heart. God does not want you to be afraid of your future. He don't want you to be afraid of failing. He don't want you to be afraid of your past mistakes, your past defeats, your troubles, your problems. Don't be afraid, because if God is with you, if God be for you, who can be against you? Oh, let me let that marinate in your spirit for just a moment. Let me allow that to just ponder in your mind. Think about what you need to be doing. Think about the things that God has called you to do in life. The people he wants you to witness to and share the gospel with, but you've been scared. Think about the things God is calling you to do, but you've been afraid. I bind that spirit of fear right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. We rebuke it. We bind it in the name of Jesus. Demon of fear, we bind and rebuke you in Jesus' name. Do not be afraid. Tell somebody. Go ahead. Tell them. Don't be afraid. I'm almost finished. Y'all not saying it with fervor, with passion. Y'all wimpy. Y'all act like y'all scared to say it. You got to get up in somebody's grill. You got to get in their face. You got to be bold about it. You got to drive it out. It's a demon. Demons don't go out from suggestions. You got to be bodacious with them. Say, devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid because of them. For tomorrow, about this time, I will deliver all of them slain before Israel. Whoo, y'all. You know what that means? God told me to tell you that what that means is this. It means this. He says it ain't gonna last long. Somebody tell your neighbor, it ain't gonna last long. Y'all not getting it. It is not going to last long. Whatever you've been going through, it's about to end. Whatever you've been wrestling with, about this time tomorrow, it's going to be over. About this time tomorrow, something is going to shift in your life. About this time tomorrow, God is about to cause something to change. High five your neighbor and say, something's going to change tomorrow. It's about 1:30. About 1:30 tomorrow, check your email. About 1:30 tomorrow, check your voicemail. About 1:30 tomorrow, go to your mailbox. About 1:30 tomorrow, say, I'm anticipating and expecting God to do something spectacular, miraculous, incredible tomorrow about this time. I prophesy it. I pray it. I decree it. I declare it. I preach it tomorrow about this time. Who am I praying? preaching to today. Who is this for? Receive it and accept it. Say, God, I'm expecting a miracle. I'm expecting a harvest. I've been crying for a long time. I've been weeping and anticipating it. I've been worn out. But God told me to tell you, it's about to change. Hey! It's about to change. It's about to change. It's about to shift. God is going to change. It won't last long. It's going to be over. Suddenly, God is about to do a suddenly from out of nowhere. Whoever this is for, go ahead and give him a praise. I feel something down in my spirit. I feel God doing something in somebody right now. You cannot imagine where God is about to take you. You can't imagine what God is about to do. It's going to be spectacular in your life, on your behalf. It is about to change. It won't be long. Here's what it says. I will deliver all of them. Y'all missed that. Not some of them, not most of them. Everything that's been giving you hell, he's about to slay it. I wish I had some praying people with me here. He said, tomorrow about this time, you shall, first of all, he said, I will deliver. God said, I'm going to make this happen. But he said, I'm going to empower you. He said, you shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire. God said, I'm going to empower you to hamstring the horses. What that means is that the horse is cut at his muscle that gives him his strength and power. God said, I'm going to give you the ability to cut the enemy at their strongest place and render the horse useless. When I had a good government job and I had a boss that I felt wasn't treating me properly. He didn't treat me the way I thought I should have been treated. But I responded the way God wanted me to respond. So God hamstrung him. You know how he did it? He flipped the script and made me his boss. Hey! Somebody better get ready. The script is about to be flipped. The situation is about to change. Your circumstances is about to turn around. Somebody said, God is about to flip the script. Y'all, excuse me, I feel an anointing. I feel a anointing on me. I feel a prophecy to tell you God is about to
Take their power away. Take the authority they had over you away. God is about to render them useless. Can't do you no harm. Can't hurt you. Can't bother you. Can't destroy you.
Who am I preaching to today? Who am I preaching to? This means war. We're going to be engaged in war. It's a battle. You're going to win. But you cannot fight with carnal weapons. You got to operate the opposite of what your natural tendencies tell you. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you today? This has to be fought spiritually. Y'all stop cussing people out, giving them a piece of your mind, and destroying their property and scratching up their cars and jumping in people's face and taking them to court. Y'all, that ain't how you do it. You gotta step back and say, God, it's your battle. That's what you gotta do. And the God that we serve, He's an awesome God. Let me say this and I'll be finished. Every child, listen to this. Y'all hear nothing else I say today. I want you to hear this. Every child of God with a call and an assignment on their life to do something significant is going to experience a crucifixion. Everybody, you're going to be lied on, misunderstood, talked about. They're going to try to ruin your name, your reputation. It goes with the territory. It's a part of the journey. But here's the deal. They might crucify you. They might try to ruin your name. But God always resurrects. He resurrects. They thought you were dead, but here you are. I'm back. They thought they had killed you. They thought it was over. But you're going to say, I'm back. They thought you were benched. But you're going to say, I'm back. Here I am. And God is the one that elevates you. Give the Lord a shout with me one last time. Who am I preaching to? Hold your hands up. Hold your hands up. Everybody put your hands up. Everybody. This ain't for everybody. I want to find out who am I preaching to. Put your hands down. Everybody. I only want you to put your hands up if this is for you. It can't be everybody. Everybody? All right, let me pray for you. Hold them up, hold them up. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to do battle the way you tell us to do. So I pray now that you rebuke the spirit of fear. Bind it in the name of Jesus. Give your sons and daughters the courage to move forward in life. The courage, God, to obey your voice. And I pray right now, God, I pray for miracles that by 1:30 tomorrow, people will know that you are God and God all by yourself. Work a miracle. Give deliverance. Give a breakthrough. Change the circumstance. Shift the situation. In Jesus' name, we pray it and believe it. In Jesus' name, man. Everybody go ahead and give the Lord a praise and a shout.